Arizona News Radio. Thunderstorms, some heavy, moving through northern Arizona.
This is a pretty good start to the monsoon season as far as thunderstorm activity. Not too unusual to see it at this time of the year.
A layer of dust hangs over Metro Phoenix. A wall of dust shut down Sky Harbor Airport for a while last night.
We had dust blowing into the terminal buildings, and the dust actually set off the smoke alarm.
Governor Brewer has sent disaster declaration requests to the federal government.
Governor Brewer's letters to the SBA point out how the Walla and Monument fires have damaged or destroyed dozens of homes and businesses, charring almost 570,000 acres.
Two people in custody. Phoenix police investigating an officer involved shooting of suspects in a home invasion.
We've got witnesses saying that they were demanding drugs when they forced entry into the home.
Two hikers lost in the San Francisco peaks are safe.
Neither hiker was adequately equipped for the hike or the weather, and they became wet and cold.
George Tanner.
And this KM Finance traffic report is brought to you by Quiznos. You're going to find an accident on Bullard and Indian School Road. There's another fender bender eastbound on the Papago right before the Siloam Highway. And you will find some traffic building on the Black Canyon, heading northbound between McDowell and Camelback. And Quiznos introduced the new Southern Barbecue Pulled Pork Sub, now featuring slow-roasted pork and smoky barbecue sauce, for a limited time at participating Quiznos.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Well, no repeat tonight of last night's massive dust storm, the dust storm of the decade, I guess we could call it. But we will try to crank things up again tomorrow and Friday. Highs about 104 to 106 with a chance of evening storms, then dry things out over the weekend. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
And currently at our downtown studios, we're sitting at 102 degrees. Next news in 30 minutes or when it breaks here on KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Bringing reliable energy to your home is what we do best at Southwest Gas, and your safety is our priority. Although we check our pipelines on a regular basis, sometimes leaks can occur. One way to detect a gas leak is by the rotten egg odorant that we've added to natural gas. So if you ever smell the rotten egg odor, please call us 24 hours a day, whether you're a gas customer or not, and we'll respond immediately. Safety rules at Southwest Gas.
This news report is brought to you by State Farm Insurance. Talk to an agent today about State Farm's new lower car insurance rates. Call an agent 24/7 or visit statefarm.com. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Use biodegradable, non-toxic Simple Green to keep your gear clean. From boats to bikes and cars to campers, Simple Green cleans at the speed of light. Available at your favorite retailer. To learn more, visit us at simplegreen.com.
This is Legalese, where the law is always on your side. Now introducing your host, a longtime veteran of the courts, Dennis Willinchek.
It's Wednesday, July 6th, and you're listening to Legalese. I'm your host, Jack the Rainmaker Willinchek. Your regular host, Dennis Willinchek, is out of town. Today we're talking about the verdict in the Casey Anthony case. What else? We want to know, was she guilty? Go ahead and give us a call here at the station. The number is 602-277-KFNX at 602-277-5369. We have on the line Noel Flasterstein, I hope I didn't butcher his name, who's a criminal defense lawyer out in Florida and who followed the case. Noel, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Thanks for coming on the show, Mr. Flasterstein. Is that the right...
It's Flasterstein, but that's close enough.
Close enough. All right, well, let me ask you, were you surprised by the verdict?
Actually, I was. I was kind of shocked that she got a not guilty verdict, but with that being said, at the same time, I do believe that the jurors gave the correct verdict.
Right. Well, why do you say that?
Well, obviously, there was a witch hunt out for Miss Anthony, and given the nature of the case, there's a death of a small, beautiful child, and, you know, the mother, all the evidence with her lies, and, you know, just the strangeness and the bizarreness of this case would, you know, I could see, you know, when there's the death of the child or when there's children involved, you know, a lot of people are out for blood, and
right.
Miss Anthony was the target of that.
Right.
But with that being said, when the state put on its, you know, put on its case and proffered its evidence, you know, I mean, they didn't even establish exactly how the child died. Now, if they don't know how the child died, how can they with any, you know, reasonableness or, you know, with any certainty try to attempt to establish that Miss Anthony intentionally killed the child? Now,
right.
Had the state moved forward with, well, you know, we're going to hold her for manslaughter or the accidental death of her child, well, I think they probably would have got that case. You know,
right.
Obviously Miss Anthony knew something. Miss Anthony was involved. She concealed stuff. She lied to law enforcement. She lied to her parents about it. These were facts that came out and were clearly established beyond a reasonable doubt. But when we're talking about, you know, did Miss Anthony intentionally kill her child? Was it an accident? A lot of that, you know, remains to be seen. And clearly the state was not able to meet its burden beyond a reasonable doubt or any doubt, as far as I'm concerned, that Miss Anthony intentionally killed her child. Had they been able to give some evidence, I mean, we don't even know the method of death.
Right.
The actual time of death and the best evidence put forward for the method of death came from the defense, an accidental drowning. And so if I was sitting on that, you know, jury, and I have all that evidence, and if I'm doing my job properly as a juror, and you know, thank God that they were there, you know, witnessing or hearing all the evidence in front of them, instead of getting what everyone else was getting, you know, the TV, the media coverage, and, you know, legal pundit after pundit, you know, they were saying she's going to be guilty, she's guilty of this, and, you know, without a doubt, clearly she lacks something as a mother. A word I keep hearing with reference to this case is dysfunctional families. Hey, that was clearly established, but when we're talking about a death penalty case, you know, they clearly failed to show beyond any doubt that Miss Anthony intentionally killed her child. Now, whether she accidentally killed her child, that, you know, I think that still remains to be answered.
Right. Well, you know, my next question was going to be, do you think the prosecutor made any mistakes here? It sounds like that was his biggest mistake, was not just going straight for a negligent homicide case. Instead, they tried to prove up a first-degree murder here. Would you agree with that?
I would. And if I was a juror and I was on that case, and if negligent homicide was put, I think, you know, that was put before me as an option. They did have a manslaughter charge, which,
right.
You know, would, under Florida, which would be kind of, you know, surmountable to a negligent homicide. If they would have focused more on that, and
right.
Maybe if they would have went along with the defense's, you know, the defense theory that this was an accidental drowning. But they stayed clear of that. I would have felt a lot more comfortable, you know, holding her responsible in that fashion. Personally, and I'm assuming a lot of the jurors felt the same way, I would have had a very difficult time with the evidence they put in there without even establishing the date and time of death, you know, holding her, you know, responsible for the intentional, willful, malicious killing of her child. And you know what? That very well may have happened. So, yes, I think the jury made the proper verdict, but that doesn't mean I think she is innocent of murder. I just think the state, you know, didn't handle their case in the fashion that they best could have approached it.
Right. Again, we're talking about the Casey Anthony verdict. Go ahead and give us a call. It's 602-277-KFNX. That's 602-277-5369. Casey Anthony was found guilty of something. She was found guilty of 4 misdemeanor counts of providing false information to a law enforcement officer. Noel, what was the basis for that conviction?
Well, obviously, when they were questioning her about the, you know, her child, she wasn't giving them forthright answers, and she lied to them about many things. I think she even lied about her employment with Universal Studios, took the detectives on a walking tour of the Universal Studios, and finally came clean, well, I actually don't work here.
Right.
The fact that Miss Anthony is a liar, that was clearly established, but a liar, you know, isn't necessarily a murderer.
Right.
And on the same token, you know, I haven't always been forthright with law enforcement when I've been pulled over. And I think many people have found themselves in that situation. Oh, I didn't know exactly how fast I was going, officer, or how many drinks did you have tonight? 2? Whatever the case may be. You know, it's a very minimal charge. They're all misdemeanors. She's already spent 2 years in jail. If the judge wanted to, and I think that's a possibility as well, the judge may very well feel, and I'm not saying he does, but I do see it as a possibility, the judge think that the jury made a mistake, and he can, sentence her to a year on each count, and have that run consecutively. Now, typically in a criminal case, and as, you know, quite often when we have multiple charges, if we were to run it consecutively, some of my clients with their misdemeanor charges would spend 15 years in jail, but that's generally not how it's done. They're all done concurrently.
Right.
Done concurrently, you know, she could be out, you know, by tomorrow, which I believe
right, with
when
time
he's
going to
actually do this. Yeah, with time served, and, you know, it's going to, you know, he's going to give the sentence tomorrow. But he could also, you know, give her 5 years, and she'll spend another 3 years in jail. But 3 years in jail is a lot different than, you know, being put to death by the state.
Right.
And I think it's also a lot, you know, obviously it's a lot different for, you know, life without the possibility of parole.
Well, you know, let me say this. There were a couple of things that bothered me about this verdict. One of them, maybe you can explain to me what happened with this at the trial. I mean, like most working people, I wasn't able to sit down every day and watch the trial. But I know that duct tape, I assume this came into evidence, duct tape was found on the skull. And I was under the impression that the defense's theory was that the child accidentally drowned. I never understood how, if that were the case, where does the duct tape come from? Can you explain how the defense dealt with the duct tape?
I'm not sure they exactly addressed it, and I think it was more the prosecution that put emphasis on the duct tape, talking about the manner and how the duct tape was wrapped around the child's head, tying to, you know, going ahead and putting out there that they believe the duct tape was used to suffocate the child.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, obviously if the child did die by an accidental drowning, I don't think it's so far removed to think that, you know, in her panic, and I guess, you know, that's probably where the sense theory was, you know, where it was where they were going, you know, this is an accidental death that just went wrong, and you know, Miss Anthony, we got to remember, at the time, she was only 23. She's
right.
Not the oldest or the most mature individual confronted with the death of a child, whether she did it intentionally or accidentally.
Right.
I think, you know, they tried, you know, it would make sense to me that, you know, if she had an accidental death and she's not sure what to do and she's trying to get rid of the body, you know, as horrible it may be, sound, she put it in a bag, duct tape, kind of secured the body and disposed of it in the swamp. We don't even really know with the evidence that was put on there, with some of the challenges raised by, you know, what I would consider a brilliant defense by Mr. Baez, who was, you know, criticized every step throughout this conduct of this trial. And, you know, whatever he was doing wrong, he obviously did something right, and where most count, where the jury saw that, you know, the state failed to meet its burden. And you know, so that just shows that, you know, I'm glad that these jurors were able to sit there, have the evidence in front of them, and notwithstanding all the media storm surrounding this case, and be able to look at that with an open mind and come to the conclusion, which, you know, clearly the state, you know, I mean, come on, we still don't know the manner of death of this child, and now they're trying to put the murder on Casey Anthony for, you know, which they clearly didn't establish. At the same time, I don't think the defense clearly established that she's innocent.
Right.
Just the state failed to clearly establish that she was guilty.
Right.
Or
okay.
Beyond a reasonable doubt.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to keep talking about the verdict in the Casey Anthony case. This is Jack Wilenchek on Legalese. See you after the break.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wilenchek & Bartness have provided quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wilenchek & Bartness specialize in cases of breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wilenchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810, 602-606-2810.
Attention women business owners looking for strategies to grow your business and build professional relationships with other successful women? Then we invite you to join the Phoenix chapter of the National Association of Women Business Owners. NABO is one of the 5 most influential organizations in the Valley, according to the Business Journal. We offer many networking opportunities, business education seminars, and a nationally recognized mentoring program. For more info, go to nawbophx.org or call 602-772-4985. That's 602-772-4985.
Hey, Sally, did you know research has found there is 18 times more bacteria on the average cell phone than a toilet handle?
Wow, that's disgusting. And to think my son Johnny is always putting my phone in his mouth.
Yeah, it turns out our cell phones are a breeding ground for bacteria. But I now have the perfect solution, CelluWipes.
CelluWipes?
Yeah, CelluWipes are tech-safe and great for removing bacteria and, more importantly, reducing the spread of germs. Excellent for cell phones, tablets, and other mobile electronic devices. Best of all, you can buy them at Walgreens or visit CelluWipes.com. That's CelluWipes.com.
For many troubled youth, the first step towards delinquency and substance use is having nothing constructive to do or no one to talk to. Remember, the first person introducing your kids to drugs or violence is not always the local pusher. If we're not talking to our kids about the issues that impact their lives, then who is? That's from Restoration Services Limited in Phoenix, your local fire and water damage restoration experts. Serving Phoenix for over 21 years. Call 602-867-7771. Chuck, his family, and staff care about our children and our community.
This is Jack Wilczek. Welcome back to Legalese on KFNX. Our topic for today is the verdict in the Casey Anthony trial. Let us know your thoughts. Do you think that she was guilty? Give us a call at 602-277-KFNX. That's 602-277-5369. We have on the line Noel Flasterstein, who is a criminal defense lawyer out in Florida and who followed the case very closely. Go ahead.
You know, interestingly enough, one of the things I've been seeing on the news media is how the public at large is, you know, crying that this is a miscarriage of justice, that a murderer is walking away scot-free. And that's what I'm seeing on television. That's what I'm hearing on the radio. But the reality is most of the people that I've talked to, colleagues and non-attorneys, most of them seem to be more of the mindset that, you know, they too agree that, you know, the case or the state failed to, you know, really establish that, you know, Miss Anthony intentionally killed her child. Now,
right.
I think they could have easily established that she was responsible for the death of her child. But being responsible for the death of your child is a lot different than intentionally killing your child. It's kind of like sometimes people have a car wreck and they cause the death of another person. And maybe they acted with reckless disregard for human life, but they not necessarily intentionally tried to kill somebody. Now, of course, you know, cars have been used as weapons as well. But the point being, there is a big difference between someone intentionally killing somebody and accidentally killing somebody.
Right.
And I think that is why, me personally, I think the jury came to the correct the verdict. And again, had the state thought like this was an accidental death caused by the negligence of Miss Anthony, I think they would have had a much stronger case and probably would have had a verdict more in their favor.
Right. Well, I definitely think there were things that the defense came up with that the prosecution probably could have played off of more, things that never made sense to me. The defense started talking about how her father sexually abused her, how her brother sexually abused her, and somehow they alleged that the father may have even helped to, you know, frame her, hide the body, that kind of thing. I couldn't piece any of that together. I think maybe the prosecution should have made more out of, you know, how the defense is just throwing things at the wall and seeing if it would stick. Can you explain, you know, Mr. Flasterstein, what that sexual abuse theory was?
Well, from my perspective, and I'm presuming to enter into the mind of Mr. Baez, is I think what he was trying to do was to create a picture of a highly dysfunctional family.
Right.
So let's talk about the sexual abuse.
Right.
And I think he was really clearly able to take the jurors away from she killed the child, her child's dead, she hit it, she's got to be responsible. Now, probably the better response to this state is not simply to dismiss that sort of stuff, but maybe to comment it on and go, hey, here's what happened. This is a mother whose child was last alive, was in her care, and now that child's dead. And don't be sidetracked about this dysfunction, you know, the family dysfunction.
Right.
Don't be sidetracked about horrible things that have happened in her life. Let's focus on this issue, a mother, her child, that child's missing, that child's gone for 31 days. You know, every family has its issues, every family has its secrets, and they didn't go down that road. They, you know, kind of like almost ignored it, and I think that probably played well for the defense, and clearly one of the things you'll hear, you know, said from people examining the case and people commenting, the public at large even just commenting on the case, is that, well, clearly this was a highly dysfunctional family. In fact, the alternate juror, you know, even stated it was clear to him that, the family was bizarre and dysfunctional. And it wasn't enough for them to go and let's go and hang Casey, Anthony for this, craziness, and let's go and hang her because she didn't act properly with her child. And I think, the other thing we got to consider too, the state failed, or maybe it just wasn't there, and so they didn't fail, but they couldn't do it, to establish that Casey Anthony had a bad relationship with her child, had a neglectful relationship with her child. There was no witnesses to testify that she abused her child or didn't care for her child. And quite frankly, this theory of, look at the motive. The motive for murder was so Casey Anthony could go out and party with her friends, didn't want to take care of her child.
Right.
Well, I have friends and family, and I see what happens with a lot of children that have children. They give them to grandma and grandpa.
Yeah.
90% of the time, grandma and grandpa are happy to take those children. So that, I don't think that motivation.
No, I thought that was terrible.
Do very well.
Yeah, I thought that was. Terrible theory. You're absolutely right. I think that's probably why they lost it. Was that doesn't make sense. Murder your own child just so you can go out and party. That was definitely one of the big mistakes that the defense made here.
You would have thought Mr. Baez had an uphill battle, and I believe he did because of the court of public opinion. But when this trial started to go on, the fact that, maybe it was the state that actually had the greater uphill battle. I mean, they didn't have a really good, clear motivation, one that you and I both agreed doesn't seem to make that much sense, especially when you got grandparents who live in the same home as the defendant.
Yeah.
It just doesn't fly. So you don't have a good motivation, one. And two, you don't even have the exact date, time, or manner of death. So I think the big thing that really swayed the jury was the fact that, they didn't even really have a manner of death. I mean, they don't know how the child died. So if you don't know how the child died, I think you got a longer stretch of trying to establish, well, we don't know how the child died, but Mrs. Anthony is responsible and did it intentionally. I think that was actually quite a hurdle for the state to overcome. And as we're watching the progress of the child, it didn't really occur to me at that time, and I don't probably didn't occur to most people.
Yeah. Again, we're talking about the Casey Anthony case here on Legalese. Give us a call, number 602-277-KFNX. That's 602-277-5369. I just read that the lead prosecutor, Jeff Ashton, is retiring. This is kind of a sour note, I think, for him to be retiring on. Let me ask you, Noel, there was a lot of evidence here. I don't know if it all made it into the trial. Again, I wasn't able to sit down and watch the whole thing. But I heard there was a lot of good evidence, things like that, they found in Casey Anthony's computer there was a Google search for the terms neck-breaking, quote-unquote neck-breaking, quote, how to make chloroform, quote, and quote-unquote death. Did all that come in as evidence of the trial?
I know that the chloroform for sure came in. I believe that the net breaking, that kind of came in. So here again, the state still has the same problem. Was she given chloroform and passed out? Was her neck broken? Without really having a cause of death,
it would be
very difficult, I think, and obviously it was, for them to establish that Casey Anthony was intentionally killed her child and was responsible. And it just seemed that the defense theory, this was an accidental death, played to the jury. Now again, me individually, personally, I think the jury gave the right verdict, but I still don't know if Casey Anthony is innocent of murder. I just know that the case put on by the state clearly didn't meet its burden. And, I'm thankful that we live in our country where everybody was, a lot of people were ready to hang her for the death of her child. And the people that actually sat in there clearly paid attention to the evidence that was put before them. And from my perspective, I think they gave the right verdict based on the evidence that was put before them.
Yeah. Well, do you think that that the judge made any mistakes in this trial? Is he responsible for the verdict in any way?
I don't think so. In fact, I think he was more pro-state, pro-prosecution, more lenient with them than he was with the defense, would be my perception. With that being said, I think there is the possibility that the judge may, you know, decide, which is his prerogative, which he has every legal right to do under the state laws of Florida, to have her misdemeanor convictions and her sentencing run consecutively. So if he feels she's gotten away, and I have no idea what the judge may personally feel about the case. He sat there too along with the jury and witnessed all the evidence and made rulings on it. But he does have the ability to do that if he so desires, and that's clearly within his judicial prerogative. And partly why I think the judges have that power is in a sense when they can kind of weigh in on their thoughts on the guilt or innocence of a defendant.
Right. Okay, well, we're going to take our break here. Again, we thank you, Mr. Flasterstein, for coming onto the show and to talking about this subject. I'm not really sure if the jury made the right decision or not, but please, you know, listening audience, call in and let us know. This is Legalese. Jack Wilenchek on Legalese, KFNX.
Ingram, Neil Bortz, Steve Malzberg, Lou Dobbs, KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, the voice of the valley.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Federal authorities have ordered ExxonMobil to make safety improvements to a broken pipeline in Montana that caused up to 1,000 barrels of oil to spill into the Yellowstone River last week. The National Park Service says a grizzly bear killed a man at Yellowstone National Park this morning. The visitor, hiking with his wife, the bear apparently was trying to protect her cubs. There's a major policy change from the White House. Letters of condolence now will be sent to the families of U.S. military personnel who commit suicide. Greg Kiesling, whose son Army Specialist Chance Kiesling committed suicide, wrote a letter to President Obama asking for the change.
There's been tremendous efforts that have been put in place by the military to do a better job. But the president changing the policy sends a symbolic message to everybody that we can do a better job.
Stocks closed higher on Wall Street today. The Dow up about 56 points. The S&P and NASDAQ edged up slightly. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
Arizona News Radio. Thunderstorms, some heavy, moving through northern Arizona.
This is a pretty good start to the monsoon season as far as thunderstorm activity. Not too unusual to see it at this time of the year.
A layer of dust hangs over Metro Phoenix. A wall of dust shut down Sky Harbor Airport for a while last night.
We had dust blowing into the terminal buildings, and the dust actually set off the smoke alarm.
Governor Brewer has sent disaster declaration requests to the federal government.
Governor Brewer's letters to the SBA point out how the Walla and Monument fires have damaged or destroyed dozens of homes and businesses, charring almost 570,000 acres.
Two people in custody. Phoenix police investigating an officer involved shooting a suspect in a home invasion.
We've got witnesses saying that they were demanding drugs when they forced entry into the home.
Two hikers lost in the San Francisco peaks are safe.
Neither hiker was adequately equipped for the hike or the weather, and they became wet and cold.
George Tanner.
And this KFNX traffic report is brought to you by 99 Cents Only Stores. Westbound on the 10, right of the tunnel, you're going to find a collision there. There's also a ladder southbound on the Pima right at Indian Bend Road, and you will find a fender bender involved with a bicyclist on Union Hills Drive just west of 91st Street. Why pay more to eat healthy? 99 Cents Only Stores offers fresh produce with an amazing selection of fresh fruits and vegetables for only 99.99 cents.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Well, no repeat tonight of last night's massive dust storm. The dust storm of the decade, I guess we could call it. But we will try to crank things up again tomorrow and Friday. Highs about 104 to 106 with a chance of evening storms. Then dry things out over the weekend. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
And currently at our downtown studios, we're sitting at 102 degrees. Next news in 30 minutes or when it breaks here on KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Guys, I want to talk to you about engagement rings. Why is it that most of you are on the I Wanted To program? Last week, my fiancé said he wanted to clean the dishes for me, but instead left them in the sink the entire week while I was out of town. Or last year, when he wanted to take me to my favorite restaurant for Valentine's Day, but didn't, as we ended up eating meatloaf at his mother's house. So when he told my sister he wanted to buy me an engagement ring, she told him he'd better go to London Gold unless he wanted to hear the words no. Guys, this is great advice, as we don't want some overpriced run-of-the-mill ring from a corporate jewelry chain store. We want an original, unique, one-of-a-kind ring. And London Gold is the only place in the valley where you're going to find that. So stop wanting to get the perfect ring and do it today at London Gold. Now with three valley locations, Scottsdale, Chandler, and Glendale.
This economic mess, it's not over. Stocks, real estate, mutual funds, they're not doing that great anymore. So now maybe you should start thinking about gold or silver. Some people say, wow, I need thousands of dollars to get into gold or silver, right? Nope, not anymore. Now there's silver123.net. At silver123.net, they have Silver Saver. You can buy gold and silver, as much or as little as you like. It's like a simple savings account. You make deposits, then those deposits are converted into gold and silver. And it's insured. You can have the gold or silver sent to you, or you can think of it like a savings account and watch it grow. Silver Saver. You can own physical gold or silver at prices that are comfortable for you. Find out more at silver123.net. That's the website. Silver123.net. Silver123.net.
Welcome back to Legalese. I'm your host for today, Jack the Rainmaker Wilinchek. Today we're talking about the Casey Anthony case. Unless you've been under a rock, you know that she was acquitted yesterday. She's to be sentenced tomorrow, but the chances are that because of time served, she'll be released. We're taking calls. Go ahead and give us a call at 602-277-KFNX. That's 602-277-5369. I'm going to go ahead and read some listener comments. On the KFNX Facebook page, Josh Barkley says that the prosecution had very little hard evidence, a lot of circumstantial evidence, and a poor game plan for the courtroom. Trying to paint a picture of Anthony's character instead of things like motive, weapon, eyewitnesses, hard evidence, was a loser from the start. Now the prosecutor says he has no idea who killed the toddler. I actually see a case for incompetence and partiality on the prosecutor's office. That's interesting allegation. Shantita says that verdict is embarrassing for humanity. That's again, that's might be a little extreme. Paul says OJ did it, and so did she. Diane says I believe the system did what it was supposed to do. They meaning the jury, were presented the facts, and from that they were able to come up with a unanimous verdict. I don't know if it was unanimous, but they made the decision upon the facts presented, not from emotion, as are most as people usually do when they're upset. I'm not here to judge anyone, and I know it would be hard if I were chosen for a jury. Just my opinion. Deanna says, our question was, do you think justice was served in the Casey Anthony trial? Deanna says, absolutely not. It's a sad outcome for an innocent child. Well, it's hard to disagree with that. Shantita says, the report said that all four counts were for lying to the court, blaming a nanny for kidnapping, accusing her father and brother of sexual abuse, her father for hiding the body, and something about her mother. They mentioned nothing about negligence or that Casey did anything wrong aside from lying to the court, at least not in the reports that he saw. She serves 1 year for every misdemeanor and has already served three, so one more year. Or as we just heard from Noah Flasterstein, it's possible she could be released even tomorrow. Wayne says that high-profile cases like this one often have outcomes like this because defense lawyers' reputations are also being put on trial. It makes the defense lawyers desperate to win at all costs. If we want justice, we need to restrict media coverage at some level. Otherwise, we'll just see this happen again and again. Well, one thought I've had that I keep having as I listen to the coverage is, what happens next? I mean, is she gonna form a support group now with the Ramses, or is she gonna go look up OJ in Vegas? In a way, you almost feel sorry for a person like Casey Anthony because she can't get a job after this. You know, nobody's gonna hire somebody who, you know, has this kind of a background. Christina says if Casey's guilty and the prosecutors didn't do their job well, then that is what I would be the most outraged over. It seems like the outrage is misguided. Who is the prosecution? Did they do their job well? In the end, whoever killed that child will have to meet their maker, and no defense will be able to outwit God. Diane says that I believe it's up to the judge. He'll be watching tomorrow, right? Then we'll all know. I'm not going to speculate when I don't have all the facts. I guess that's partially true. It's obviously up to the jury, but the judge does determine sentencing tomorrow. Okay, we're going to go ahead and take our break in a moment here. When we come back from the break, we're going to have a reporter who covered the case closely down in Florida talking to us on the show. His name is Matt Bruce. Again, we invite you to call in, let us know what you think about the case. Number 602-277-KFNX, that's 602-277-5369.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Bartness have provided quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Bartness specialize in cases of breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810, 602-606-2810.
Guys, I want to talk to you about engagement rings. Why is it that most of you are on the I wanted to program? Last week, my fiancé said he wanted to clean the dishes for me, but instead left them in the sink the entire week while I was out of town. Or last year, when he wanted to take me to my favorite restaurant for Valentine's Day, but didn't, as we ended up eating meatloaf at his mother's house. So when he told my sister he wanted to buy me an engagement ring, she told him he better go to London Gold unless he wanted to hear the word no. Guys, this is great advice, as we don't want some overpriced run-of-the-mill ring from a corporate jewelry chain store. We want an original, unique, one-of-a-kind ring. And London Gold is the only place in the valley where you're going to find that. So stop wanting to get the perfect ring and do it today at London Gold. Now with 3 valley locations, Scottsdale, Chandler, and Glendale.
Arizona sports fans, this is Andy Dorf, host of Dorf on Sports, heard every Wednesday from 9 to 10 p.m. on KFNX Radio for my good friends, azcasino.com. Get dialed in with the online leader since 1997, that's GoTo Entertainment's azcasino.com. Call 888-333-PLAY now and mention Dorf on Sports for a $25 free play, a 25% cash bonus, that's 888-333-PLAY, that's GoTo Entertainment's azcasino.com. Any wager, any sport, anytime, azcasino.com.
Welcome back to Legalese. I'm your host for today, Jack the Rainmaker Willinchek. Today we're talking about the Casey Anthony case. Do you think she was guilty? Give us a call at 602-277-KFNX. That's 602-277-5369. We have on the line Matt Bruce, who followed the Casey Anthony trial pretty closely. Matt, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Well, let me ask you, were you surprised by the verdict?
I was. I really was. And here's why.
We have had nothing but Casey Anthony or sports down here in Florida. And, of course, I am right here in the backyard of where the jury came from, the 12 jurors and the five alternates, the 17 in total.
Right.
And it was pretty much an open and shut case. I think a lot of people had in their minds tried the case over and over again based on what they were hearing. It sounded like a terrible situation with a young girl, 2 years old, dying in the process because of negligence of the mother and all that. But what kind of made me not as shocked as what I could have been was Saturday, last Saturday, when I watched the defense, the two attorneys, Jose Reyes and his assistant, absolutely tear to shreds the prosecution's case, item by item, piece by piece, bit by bit. That's when I said to myself, I said, my God, they have just absolutely destroyed a circumstantial case. There is no evidence.
Right. Well, you know, in the law we talk about, you know, especially in jury trials, we talk about the rule of recency. You know, the jury is most likely to decide based on the last thing they heard. It's also true, you know, they're thinking about the first thing they heard, too. So even though this was a 31-day trial, I think everything between the first and the last days is probably kind of a haze for them. And like you're saying, they based a lot of what they did on the closing arguments.
Right.
Well, you know, tell me about the jury in this case. Do you think there was any biases at work here?
No, I don't, because some of the jurors are actually neighbors, not in my neighborhood, but they're right here in the county that I live in. And I know the school teacher. I did not know the school teacher was on this jury, the phys ed coach. I believe he called himself, what was it, juror number 17 or, well, I forget, there was a number.
Right.
Their numbers are all mixed together right now because we're all trying to figure out who's going to say what and when they're going to say it.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, the jurors did their job. I mean, they rendered a verdict based on what they thought they heard or didn't hear. And quite frankly, we heard juror number 4, I believe it was today, come out and say that they sat there and they all cried, but there wasn't enough evidence to convict this young lady, Casey Anthony.
Right. Well, you said you're surprised by the verdict. I mean, do you think the justice was done here?
I think justice was done because I believe in our system of government. I believe in the fact that when you have a jury trial and you're judged by your peers, just as in O.J. Simpson's case, I mean, I felt that he was guilty of sin there, but he was found innocent and or not guilty, rather. But, you know, you have to go with the judgment. That's the way our system is. Now, is there more to come into play? Absolutely.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, just like the O.J. Simpson trial, I'm hearing that already there's a civil suit filed. I guess Zanny, the made-up nanny, is suing for defamation, alleging that Casey Anthony ruined her reputation by claiming that she had something to do with, the child going missing. So, I mean, that's my question to you now is what's next for Casey Anthony? What happens now that she's been acquitted?
Well, first of all, it's extremely dangerous for Casey Anthony just to go wandering back into her home neighborhood where her parents live. Whether or not her parents will take her back or not is another question. But one of the neighbors was interviewed last night, and he came out on national television, and he said, I don't think she's going to be coming back into this area anytime soon. It's going to be extremely dangerous for her. That was a warning. That was a plain and clear warning put out by one of the neighbors in the neighborhood. Because he also mentioned, and it was a black man, he said a whole bunch of our neighbors are upset about this. But let me tell you something. Do you think for 1 second, and any of your listeners, do they think for 1 second that the father, George Anthony, a retired homicide detective in Orange County, Florida, and the mother who lied about the time frame with the computer and the doing the search for chlorophyll or chloroform, do you think they're not involved in this up to their eyeballs? I think they are. I think this is a horrible accident that went bad, and I think the father tried to cover it up the best way he could, and I think the reason I'm saying that is because the body was wrapped in a trash bag and wrapped by duct tape. Never mind the duct tape around the mouth and all that stuff. I know why that was done. I'll get to that in a minute. But the body was wrapped in a plastic bag, and then the bag was wrapped with duct tape. That was exactly what that family had done over the years for the numerous pets that they buried, that the father buried. That was a standard practice. So don't you think for 1 second that this just smells and reeks to high heaven of the father having involvement in this? I think it does.
Well, All right, we've got a caller on the line. It's Julie from Scottsdale. Julie, are you there?
I am.
Yeah, let us know. Do you think justice was served here?
You know, honestly, I wasn't there. I don't know. I'm a little bit outraged by all the celebrities and media, and especially in social media, how everyone is just jumping on this this bandwagon that she's guilty and justice wasn't served. I really don't know. I didn't follow the case enough. I'm just wondering, why is it the celebrities and some of the media is just jumping on this, and what your thoughts are on that?
Well, I think I can answer that twofold. First of all, In the talk radio business, I do a 3-hour weekday afternoon show, and it was the biggest discussion going on for the past 2.5-3 months because we had the local jury out of our backyard, out of our home county. So that's where the involvement was there. But for these talking heads, and let me just direct a couple of names here. CNN's Nancy Grace tried this girl and convicted her in the court of public opinion on CNN television. There's no doubt. For anyone that watched that and listened to what she was saying. And the other one that got in the middle of this was Judge Jeanine from the Fox News Channel. I was shocked. She was a judge that she actually rendered an opinion long before this case was ever over and done with. And a lot of people did do exactly what I believe her name is Julie said that they did. They actually did try this in the social media and convicted her before the jury made their decision. And again, we have a system put in place. We all, you know, we're Americans. We all abide by the same laws. When it's a jury trial, the jury has the final verdict. End of story.
Right. Well, we've got a caller on the line who wants to know if Casey Anthony can be retried. The answer to that is no. It's the law in all across America that
double jeopardy,
right? If there's an acquittal, the prosecution cannot retry the case.
If they had have charged her to begin with child abuse or aggravated child assault and not gone after that murder charge, then the answer to the question would have been yes, but they did it backwards. They went for the highest charge first.
Right. Well, let me ask you, what mistakes, we've already talked about a few, but what mistakes do you think the prosecutor made in this case?
Well, the prosecutor made it personal. The prosecutor got emotionally charged up and revved up into the case. It was a very difficult thing to separate yourself from that. But again, I'll go back to Saturday. I'll go back to last Saturday.
Right.
Jose Reyes stood up there and said, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you have to take your emotions and get rid of them and make the decision based on the facts. The state is not given enough evidence. It's not conclusive. The medical examiner, which was a big thing, by the way, the medical examiner cannot determine the cause of death. Therefore, we don't know how she died. She could have died various ways, and he mentioned the different ways. But when that prosecutor laughed and smiled, That was the end of it for the jury, in my opinion. I believe that was the end of it. I believe he cost himself his case right there doing that.
You know, I think that's absolutely right. I worked at a firm. We try a lot of cases, and those little things, you think they're not important, but to the jury, they are. You know, the way you dress, the way the client's behaving, whether he's smiling, whether he, looks engaged, those things do weigh in on the jury. We had a trial where we made a big point of the fact that the other side wasn't even showing up to the trial. You know, we said he didn't even care about it. And we went to talk to the jury afterwards. They said, you know what, you're right. Why wasn't he even here? That kind of stuff, plays on the jury, pretty heavily.
You're absolutely right. And the other thing is that when Jose Reyes was giving his rebuttal, the commentators were very descriptive in saying that everyone in the jury was absolutely paying close attention to what he was saying. And that was coming from the court observers. That was coming from the people that study the jurors. I mean, it was all unanimous in what they were saying. And when the lead prosecutor gave his presentation, a lot of the jurors were looking down or looking away or weren't paying attention at all. But when the woman got up there to make the final charge for the prosecution, the majority of the women in the jury were watching. The majority of the men were not.
Yeah, right.
And I find that very interesting.
Yeah. Let me ask you, you mentioned the duct tape before. That's the one thing I came away from this case wondering about is, how do you explain away the duct tape? I mean, even if it was some kind of an accidental death, why is there duct tape? Can you talk some more about that?
Well, the duct tape, in my opinion, and I've seen it done before because it's been done in foreign countries that I served in when I was in the military, when they were burying some of their own people. And I'm gonna make this as polite as I can.
Right.
When a body starts to decompose, various insects go in through the pores. They go in through the ears. They go in through the nose. They go in through the mouth, and they get into the body. In order not to have that happen to a body, the simple solution is to put duct tape over the nose, over part of the ears, and over the mouth, and you've solved that problem right away. And this has been done. I've seen it done, as I said, serving in the military overseas by foreign countries that have buried their people in various ways. And it would not surprise me, and this is where I think the father's involvement comes into this, if he hadn't have done this, knowing that full well. Because, again, there's just something very, very, very wrong with this whole scenario, with the father and with the mother. Something very wrong. I think they're up to this in their eyeballs.
Right. Well, you know, the defense threw out a lot of stuff about sexual abuse. I'm not really sure how they tied that into anything. Originally, I think they talked about it just as a mitigating circumstance, the fact that she was sexually abused when she was younger. But it seemed that they were trying to tie that into some kind of theory too, which even now it doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. How is it that the allegation that the father sexually abused Casey Anthony? How did the defense argue that played into anything?
Well, they didn't argue it at all. Once it was mentioned, it was dropped, and then it was brought up a couple of times during the trial, and I believe the judge overruled it because there was never any proof of that.
Right.
It was mentioned in a very roundabout manner during the rebuttal by, you've heard the history of the trial, you've heard the history of the Sis family, and without saying anything about that, the attorney, Jose Reyes, actually said it.
Yeah, right. Do you think the judge made any kind of mistake in this trial?
Well, not being a judge and not being an attorney, I can't answer to that with any sense of professionalism, but I can tell you, in my opinion, I thought that he was disappointed in the fact that the trial wasn't ended by July 4th, as he promised all the jurors they would be back home in their homes in Pinellas County, Florida, on July 4th, and it didn't happen. And I think he was disappointed in that, and that kind of changed his demeanor towards the tail end of the trial, because he knew it wasn't going to happen.
Right. That was one long trial. It was 31 days, right?
Yes.
That's unreal.
But the jury had actually been sequestered for almost 2 months after being chosen. You got to remember, this jury was literally shopped around Pinellas County. Some people actually brought up from as far away as Fort Myers.
Wow. We're talking about the Casey Anthony case. Give us a call, 602-277-KFNX. That's 602-277-5369. What do you think was the best piece of evidence that clearly the jury didn't pay any attention to?
Well, probably the best piece of evidence was exactly obvious, and that was the fact that they brought up the fact that the father in the past had buried numerous family pets that had died in a plastic bag and then wrapped the bag with duct tape. To me, if I was sitting there in that jury, that would have gotten my attention very quickly. And then all the discussion about the duct tape, and then when they showed the rolls of duct tape, where was it actually taken of? It was taken of the table that they had set up where they had the searchers going out to look for little Kaylee, and the father had bought that duct tape. He was the one that was in possession of the duct tape. That's the one thing that I think that they really didn't look at close enough, but by the time that was all said and done, I really think that they'd had enough of this. They wanted to go home. They believed unanimously, and it was unanimous, by the way, they believed unanimously that there wasn't enough evidence to convict on any of those major charges, except for the false reports to the police. And, of course, she's probably going to walk tomorrow.
Yeah, that's wild. Well, you know, I guess Mr. Ashton, the lead prosecutor, it's no surprise that he's...
And he's retiring, too,
yeah,
by the way.
He's retiring. Yeah, I think he was quoted as saying on the NBC Today show that the verdict left him and other prosecutors in total shock. He said he mouthed the word wow about five times. Of course, he also claims he's been planning retirement for some time. I guess this is just a great time to do it. Yeah, the question is, I guess, what's next for Casey Anthony? Again, she
Well, I hate to tell you what I'm hearing down here, and I hope I'm hearing wrong, but believe it or not, we're hearing the word reality television for Anthony. I'm serious. I couldn't believe it when I heard it, but we're hearing reality television. Some of these Hollywood producer types are trying to figure out how they could put her on television with a reality show. That's the first thing I heard. The second thing I've heard is at least four major book companies want to do a deal with her on a book, which would lead to a subsequent either made-for-TV motion picture or a motion picture itself, and I've heard that all day long.
Wow. Well, I think I heard that it's at least possible the judge could step in and you know, order that the proceeds or something like that, you know, go elsewhere.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. That's our show for today. You've been listening to Legalese on KFNX. I want to thank you so much, Mark, for coming on the show. I'm sorry, Matt Bruce, for coming on the show.
Thanks very much, and God bless America, and I'll see you all at thecaptainsamerica.us.
I hear that. All right. Until next week, this is Jack Wilenchek. I'll see you next time.
Hi, my name is Denver Nois with EquityForProfit.com. If you're like most Americans, the IRS is going to get at least 20 to 30% of your retirement income, maybe more. Your IRA, your 401k, your SEP, deferred comp are all 100% taxable as income when you take it out. And with taxes only going up, most people pay more in taxes than they ever earned on their investments. But there is a solution. Certain low-cost life insurance policies let you grow unlimited amounts of money tax-free and create tax-free income that's invisible to the IRS. It works like a Roth IRA with no income or contribution limits, and you can access the money anytime for any reason. On our website, you can read a detailed overview of how this works, watch videos explaining this proven tax-free strategy, and listen to recordings of our weekly radio show. The website is EquityForProfit.com. That's EquityForProfit.com. If all you're doing is saving into taxable accounts, it's time to learn how to build tax-free wealth and take advantage of a massive IRS-approved tax shelter most people never use. Go to EquityForProfit.com and stop paying so much in taxes.
KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. News, weather, and traffic. Cave Creek, Phoenix. A division of Premier Radio Stations, LLC.